The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. If you can see me, that probably means you're not listening on a radio. But either way, that's fine with me. We talk about everything on this program. We always talk about it as the program about everything, the show about everything. One of the things that I love is talking to people about their faith journeys, and I particularly love people who have had miraculous experiences, like wow kind of experiences. A very dear friend of mine, his name is Ken Fish, has had a zillion of those, and I wanted to introduce him to you. Some of you know him already. Those of you who don't, you're in for a treat. Ken Fish, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric. It's always good to be back with you.
Now, you said that you had a pipe burst in your house in California, and that's why everything in your room has been moved around. What happened?
Well, it was during the ice storm that overtook half the United States about a month ago.
Right.
And Beth and I were out of town. We obviously did not get a freeze here in Los Angeles, but nevertheless, one of our pipes under the house broke from age. As it happened, it was a sewage pipe. And so water stopped draining properly, flooded back into the house, and our house is now a construction zone.
Oh.
So please excuse everything you see behind me. We are completely disheveled.
Holy cow. Well, we're here to talk about more positive things. Like I met you, I don't know, it's probably about 5 years ago right now, but God has given you a ministry in deliverance and in healing. And there are tons of people who know all about this, and there are lots of other people that have no clue and just suspect it's all chicanery and nonsense. I know you, and I know it's not. I just want to ask you, Ken, for people who are new to you, how did you get involved in this? I mean, you've been a Christian most of your life, but suddenly to be doing the things that you read about in the New Testament and having encounters with the demonic and stuff, a lot of people just don't have that as a category. How did this happen that you started to do this?
Well, my story goes back quite a ways. I won't belabor it, but back when I was at Princeton, I actually had a supernatural experience which redirected me out of studying solid-state physics and quantum mechanics into the history and philosophy of religion. Now, that's a long story in and of itself, but to condense it for purposes of this show, I would say just that I woke up one morning. It was October of 1979, and I remember the morning quite well. It was, height of colors. There'd been a light frost the night before. I walked out of my dorm, and I had an open vision is the terminology that people use. So an open vision is one that you see with your eyes wide open, and it's just as real and vivid as you are to me on my screen as I am to you on your screen right now. And it lasted for 3 days. If I closed my eyes, I could see it. If I had my eyes open, I
could
see
it. Wait a minute. 3 days. See, this is why I interview my friends, because I learn things that I had no clue. I have never, all the time I've known you, we've talked about everything. You had a vision that effectively lasted for 3 days. I have never heard of such a thing. Have you ever heard of anything like this apart from your own experience?
Yeah, I have. I've known people that have had, I would say, comparable experiences. No two experiences are ever, literally identical, but yeah, comparable. Yeah.
But I mean, how do you function? I mean, it's one thing to have a vision. It's another thing to have it go on and on and on. How did you possibly function? I can't even imagine.
Well, it was crazy because I was literally walking from one end of Princeton's campus to the other. I was headed to the engineering quadrangle for class. When literally the world opened up in front of me and I had this vision, and notwithstanding that I was in it and surrounded by it, I could still see and walk. And when I got to class, if I was looking at the professor or looking at him, you know, writing on the board, in those days, people were doing a lot more of that because it hadn't all gone to computers yet. Personal computers hadn't even been invented yet. So with all of that, I could see the vision, but I could also see what was going on. As if you will, I was looking through the vision when I was engaged with class.
So it was like double vision.
Kinda, yeah.
Like the Foreigner album.
Yeah, kinda. Double vision.
Yeah, double vision. Okay, so seriously, Ken, and what did you see in the vision?
Well, there was some parts to it, but the overarching thing was as I saw the world open up, I saw letters about, you know, so high, and they were
about like a foot or 18 inches high letters saying what?
Yep. And they were about so wide, so what do you call that, 3 to 4 inches wide, and they were burning. They were on fire, and I just saw the single word seminary. And, yeah, so I concluded from this that somehow the Lord was calling me
this
to go
to God's
seminary. This
is God's subtle way. This is God's subtle way of nudging you to go to seminary. Flaming letters, giant flaming letters. I thought God spoke in a still small voice. This is really funny. So
well, he
now,
does both, right?
I'm joking.
It's not one or the other.
I'm joking. I'm being a wise ass. No, so you. But the point is that you were serious about your faith already at that point. When did you get serious about God in your life? How old were you when that happened?
Well, I was raised in a family that was Christian, and depending on which family member we're talking about, they were relatively more or less devout. I suppose that's fairly commonplace. So I would have said that somehow I grew up in the faith, but I had a decisive experience with the Lord the summer after I graduated from high school, before I was getting ready to go to Princeton. And that, I would say, really moved me from being merely a believer, not that I'm trying to undersell that, but merely a believer, to somebody who had a much broader understanding of who God was and what he could do because of that encounter.
So you wanted to be a physicist? What did you want to do? Why are you studying quantum physics and solid state physics at Princeton?
I thought I was going to go, you know, be like a high technology executive and make a gazillion bucks.
Right. So did I. But I failed my AP physics. I got a one. Okay, so let me ask you, you have this vision. Obviously, the main takeaway is go to seminary, but why did it carry on for 3 days? What were you seeing? Were you seeing the same thing for 3 days?
Yeah, like I say, there were some parts inside of it, of scenes that I now understand were the future. But at the time, I didn't know what I was seeing. I was just seeing it, and I was thinking, what is this? And I talked with a few people, including my campus pastor and the pastor of the church I was attending, and nobody had ever had an experience like that. So they were kind of like, gosh, Ken, you're on your own. Good luck to you. We don't know what to tell you.
Right. Okay. So was this the first time you'd had a supernatural experience where God gives you a vision like that?
Yes, a vision like that. Yes.
And were you frightened at all by it?
No, I wouldn't say I was frightened. I wondered if it was going to end or when it was going to end. I mean, you know, when it started, I was thinking, well, okay. And then it kept persisting and persisting and persisting. And then, you know, that first night, as I lay down to go to sleep, I closed my eyes and I could still see it. And then, of course, I drifted away to sleep. And all through the night, this is what I was dreaming about. And then the next morning I woke up and it was still right there in front of my eyes. So on day two, I was kind of like, am I having like a psychotic break?
I was just going to say, this is so crazy. Now, did you end up, I hope, going to seminary?
I did. Yes, I did. It took a bit. I was not my first choice of life plan, but I did.
Maybe that's why God gave you the vision for 3 days, just in case you had your doubts. That's so crazy. Okay, so you went to seminary. When did you begin to move in what we call healing and deliverance? When did that happen, that you began to do that seriously?
Yeah, so that's its own interesting story. I took my mother to a service at the Vineyard Christian Fellowship in Yorba Linda, California, in 1982. And I was already now engaged in kind of a God process. This was a couple of years after that vision that I just described. And I was, my mother did not want to go to the service.
Actually, Ken, forgive me. This is what we call a hard break in show business. When we come back, the rest of the story, we're talking to my friend Ken Fish with Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. Don't go away.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. I'm talking to my friend, Ken Fish. And Ken, before we went to the break, I mentioned your website is Orbis, O-R-B-I-S, OrbisMinistries.org, OrbisMinistries.org. So, Ken, you said you're taking your mother to church, and this is your Belinda. When you say your Belinda, I'm thinking of a certain minister.
Yeah, so this was John Wimber's congregation. And the backstory there is that a woman in my church that I was attending in Princeton had come up to me with a bag of cassette tapes, and she and her husband had been to a meeting in New York City. I think it was actually at the church you used to attend. I'm pretty sure it was at Times Square Church.
No, it couldn't have been. You said this was 82?
Yeah.
Yeah, it couldn't have been. No, Times Square Church, David Wilkinson's church didn't really start till 87. But gosh, now I'm wondering. Okay.
Well, anyway, so they'd been to this meeting in New York, and John Wimber had been ministering, and she had bought a bunch of his materials, and then she had finished with him. So she told me, and this, again, this is a quote, it was a Sunday morning. She said, I was praying this morning, and I felt like the Lord told me to give these to you. So she handed me all these materials, and as it happens, I had been praying for a couple of years, literally for a couple of years, pretty much every day, multiple times a day, sometimes for extended time each day. Lord, why do I not see things going on around me that look like the New Testament? I mean, I see demons getting cast out. I see people getting healed. I see angelic visitations. I see all these things. And yet nobody I know is living in this. Why is that?
You mean, why do I see this when I read the New Testament, but I'm not seeing it in my life?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so this woman, people who don't know, a lot of people know John Wimber, but a lot of people don't. John Wimber was a legend, a phenomenon, and he moved in all this kooky stuff, which is why I love him. So you listen to these tapes. Next thing you know, you're in California going to his church.
That's right. And so I'd come home to check it out. because I lived – my home was 45 minutes away. So my mom and I go up there for this evening service, and as it happens, that particular interval of time, my mom had a condition in her mouth which never was diagnosed. But what it – to describe it, she had these sores in her mouth about the size of a raisin. And they were like a dark raisin, not the golden ones that people eat these days. And they were on her tongue. They were on the roof of her mouth. They were in her cheeks.
Oh,
they were on her gums. And they were so painful that she was whimpering and whining. She'd gotten a prescription for the pain. And she was drooling spontaneously, holding a rag over her mouth to contain the drool. So that's why she didn't want to go to church, because she's like, I don't want to show up like this. And I said, come on, you're coming with me. So we drove out there, went to the service. The singing was amazing. The sermon was great. And then at the end, John Wimber said, now we have a room just off the main, you know, place here. And if you need prayer for anything, go into that room. So I took my mom and I said, come on. And she was resistant. And I said, come on, we're going. So we walked into the room and these two young women walked up to us and they asked what we needed prayer for. And I said, well, my mom's mouth. And so I said, mom, take that rag away. Show them what's in your mouth. So she, you know, took it away, kind of whimpering. And again, they're about, you know, the size of my fingertip, but they're dark like a raisin and they're all over the roof of the mouth, the tongue, the gums, everything. They lay their hands on her and begin to pray. And I'm not kidding you, Eric. I'm absolutely telling the truth. God is my witness. About 30 seconds went by and they just vanished. They just disappeared in front of our eyes. And all three of us that were standing there praying watched this happen. And I was going, what in the world? And that really launched me into the journey and the adventure of healing and seeing many things that would come. And wanting to learn more about how do we live in this? How do we do this? How do we pursue this, you know, for more and more and at a higher level? Because Jesus said, greater things than I do, you will do because I'm going to the Father. And that verse has been, I would say, dumbed down a lot. But the fact is, it says what it says.
Well, I mean, that's so amazing. Most people have not seen a straight up miracle like you just described. And if you see something like that with your own eyes, it will change you. There's just no way around it. I mean, your mother must have been blown away to be suffering with this horrible thing. Had doctors ever seen this?
Well, she'd gone in to try and get a diagnosis and figure out what to do. And she'd gone to dentists, oral surgeons, and regular medical doctors. And they were all kind of, we don't even know what this is. We can't give it a diagnosis. So, you know, we'll give you pain pills because we can see you're in pain, but we don't know what to tell you.
Gosh, unbelievable. So you were just a kid. I mean, you're a college kid. What happens after that? I mean, I know you went into business, but when did you start praying for people and seeing this happening in your own life?
Well, it really started to take off once I got involved with John Wimber's ministry. And that was both a voluntary thing, i.e. I started going to that church once I returned to California. But beyond that, when I was attending Fuller Theological Seminary, getting a Master of Divinity, one of the things that you have to do to get a Master of Divinity is you have to do an internship, something that's a practicum. And so I had looked through all of the listings they had, you know, youth pastor and men's ministry pastor and all that. I'd looked at all these listings and none of them really did much for me. I mean, I could do it and punch the ticket, but what I really wanted to do was be involved with the Vineyard. So I said to a couple of my friends, I'm going to apply to that church, the Vineyard Church, and see if I can get an internship there. And everybody said, don't even bother. Everybody wants an internship at the Vineyard and you'll never get it. Well, I sent the application off, and about a week later, I walked into my house or my apartment. And I had an answering machine, remember those? And the light was blinking because no one had cell phones in those days unless they were very, very wealthy and they didn't have a lot of coverage. So I had an answering machine, the light's blinking, and, you know, so I hit the button and hi, Ken, this is so-and-so from the Vineyard Church, and we wanted to know if you could come in on Monday for an interview. And I said, wow. So I called back And I said, so what am I going to be doing? Who am I going to work for? And she said, well, you're going to interview with John Wimber. You're going to work for John Wimber. And I said, no, I get that. But this is a large church with, at the time, about 4,000 or 5,000 people attending it. So I know there's, you know, multiple staff members. And so I'm not just talking or going to be working for John. There's going to be somebody who's my supervisor. Who am I going to work for? And the person on the other end of the phone said, no, you're going to work for John Wimber. And I said, no, you don't understand. I mean, this is a big church. I'm an intern. Yeah. John Wimber's the senior pastor. Who am I going to tell me the name of the person that I'm supposed to be working for if this interview with John Wimber goes well? And she goes, no, I don't think you understand. John Wimber wants to interview you to work for him personally.
So this happened. Said, how old were you?
At that point, I was it. Fuller Seminary. So I was like 23 years old.
And you actually did work for, how long did you work for John Wimber? What an amazing thing.
I worked for him for 11 years.
Unbelievable. So you were doing this stuff with him. You're watching him pray for people, seeing healings, and this becomes normative for you.
Right, exactly. And over time it grew and we started to have, you know, At first, you're just lucky to, you know, get a head cold healed or see somebody's fever drop. But over time, we started to see more and more and more stuff. And it expanded from, you know, just what I would say mere healings that might have happened in the ordinary course of events to miraculous healings that are otherwise medically impossible to see happen. And not all healings are miracles. Some healings are just healings that are accelerated. But anyway, I started to see those. And eventually, you know, I started having deliverance encounters and casting demons out of people. And you know, the prophetic side of things kicked in. And so there were multiple dimensions to this.
Well, I love it. And I'm always fascinated that there are churches which not only don't believe in this, but they speak against this, which I find wild. That's really bad theology. In case you're scoring at home, that's bad. But I've seen you do this. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I think it's gigantically faith building. If you want to lead people to Jesus, this is one of the things that Jesus used to lead people to himself and to the Father. So it's just beautiful. So you do a lot of traveling. I traveled with you. We were in Greece together in Athens at a church there. There was a deliverance that I saw with my own eyes. Just amazing, amazing things. I've seen you pray for people's healing here in New York, thanks to our friend Matt Bennett with Christian Union. We're going to go to a break, but where have you been recently? Have you been traveling recently? Have you had a chance to do that?
Yeah, COVID really slowed me down from sort of March to July of last year. And since then, I've just been very busy, not going internationally so much because of the border controls, but in and around the United States, I've had meetings all over the place. And so just this weekend, so what is today? It's Wednesday. So 3 days ago, I was in Indianapolis, and I was out there for most of the week.
We're going to go to break. Forgive me. When we come back, I want to hear more about this, and I want my audience to hear about some of the things that you've been seeing as you pray for people. We need to know God is doing these things today. We'll be right back with Ken Fish.
There was a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low.
Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
Hey, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my
Hey folks, welcome back. I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish with Orbis Ministries. That's O-R-B-I-S, ministries.org. If you want to look him up, and I recommend it highly, orbisministries.org. Ken, you were just sharing about recently you were traveling, you were in Indiana. You routinely see people delivered of demons, healed. This is the kind of thing a lot of people don't see. A lot of people don't even believe it. And look, there's a reason people are skeptical, because there's a lot of, you know, there are charlatans out there. There are people that are sloppy. They're not clear. One of the things I love about you is you're crystal clear about how these things are biblical. So what are some of the things you've seen recently?
Well, when I was in Indiana, they asked me in to do a deliverance conference, which I do those, but I don't generally do them as my first act, you know, when I come to a church. Usually I build a relationship and come back a couple times. But we saw a number of people healed of things and delivered. But, you know, one of the things that really struck me, and it's particularly apt in this time in history, is while we were doing one of the Q&A sessions, people started asking questions about sexual stuff. And it was appropriate. It was not lurid, but you know, this is on people's minds because there's so much talk about, you know, gender and, you know, gay and straight and bisexual and all this stuff. And we've seen a lot of people find freedom from bondage in this area. And so at the end of that Q&A time, I kind of paused and I had a sense that the Lord wanted to move, but I didn't think it was meant to be like some mass deliverance thing where I'd call everyone up and call out demons from everybody in the crowd. But I said, I think the compassion of the Lord is here. And all of a sudden I just started crying, which is very awkward for me when that happens. But I also know that when this is on me, this is the gift of compassion. Jesus often was moved with compassion when he would do miracles of various types. And I said, I feel like there's a freedom here for anybody who's been the victim of sexual molestation. Can we turn down the house light? So they did. And I said, if you want to come forward, I believe the Lord will meet you. And I had a team with me. And so a number of people came forward, both men and women. And I mean, it was everything that you could imagine. But the Lord started moving on them. And I got a number of reports back from those people that they felt completely free of whatever their own unique version of compulsion or bondage might have been. And there were a few trash cans out, and some people were, you know, vomiting into the trash cans as the demons were being driven out. But that ministry time went on for probably 2 hours. And it was, I mean, people were sitting in the crowd, you know, with their eyes like this. They'd never seen anything like it. But it was amazing to see the compassion of the Lord for people who are caught in all that. So that's like a, you know, 4-day-old story. But then if I back up a little bit, I flew to Indiana from Fort Worth, Texas, where I'd just done a morning and an evening service on Sunday. So I'm talking Sunday a week. And I had gotten up to do a healing service on Sunday night. In the morning service, I preached on something that I'm starting to talk about a lot, which is the new Reformation. But that's its own conversation. So anyway, that night we did this meeting, and I was in the middle of preaching, and I stopped midstream, like mid-sentence, and I pointed over to my left and I said, there's somebody over here and you've got, I've never had a word like this, but you've got soft bones. What is this about you and your soft bones? And this woman stands up and she goes, that's me. And she had a cane and she said, I have soft bones because I have advanced cancer. And, you know, I have all this stuff going on in my body. And among the other things that were wrong with her as a result of the cancer, this is only one issue, not all of them. She was unable to swallow even water. And so she was parched, and it hurt her tremendously to try to swallow. Well, the power of God hit this woman. I mean, you would have thought you plugged her into a 440 electrical circuit. The power of God hit this woman, and I had a couple people that were friends there, and one of them came up to help me. She was knocked to the floor by the Holy Spirit. She lay there getting more ministry. We prayed into the various conditions. We prayed over the soft bones. And now I want to be clear. There was no doctor present. We didn't have an MRI. We didn't have a CAT scan machine. I can't give you a medical readout on this woman. But what I can tell you is she got up off the ground, threw her cane to the side, and began walking in front of the church, and the place went crazy. She came over to the microphone. She said, "I can tell from the way my body feels. My soft bones are now hard." And she said, "Not only that, while I was over there, walking over there, someone handed me a water bottle, and I drank the water bottle. I have no pain in my throat." She said, "I have no pain anywhere in my body. I'm convinced I'm healed." I said, "Well, would you please go home, get it checked out, and, you know, mail my office so we have something to follow up with." But by all appearances anyway, this woman was healed, and it certainly was a powerful encounter with God. She was beyond herself. She was crying. She was weeping. She was out of, she said, "I've never felt anything like this in my entire life." So something happened.
It's just, you know, in some ways it's so frustrating because it's such a delight to hear this. But then I think of all the people I know who have never seen this and who are skeptical, often to the point of anger. They're like, "You know what? I'm sick of this, hearing about this. I've never seen it." And I just think that it is such a faith builder. So I really, one of my hopes is that the Lord will give more and more people the kinds of gifts that you have, and that we would see more of this. Because when you see this with your own eyes, it just changes everything. And I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled to hear of these things. Folks, when we come back, we're going to continue my conversation with Ken Fish. If you want to check him out, go to Orbis Ministries. It's O-R-B-I-S, orbisministries.org. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. My guest is playing himself. His name is Ken Fish with Orbis Ministries, orbisministries.org. Ken, I love hearing these kinds of stories, and I think that we've been inured to these things because so much of this kind of thing is portrayed in Hollywood as a joke. It's people who are doing faith healings in Hollywood versions, it's always a stunt. They always have, you know, an earpiece in and somebody's giving them the information. And of course that exists. But the fact is that anybody who is serious about God would not mock God in that way. You really have experienced this. You've seen thousands of healings and deliverances. I mean, I can't even imagine over the years. Let's just go back. I mean, what other things have you seen in the last year, whatever, that are remarkable or that are worth telling?
Well, I'll give you a couple that will certainly get people's attention. So one of these, the first one, is someone that you and I know in common. I don't want to name the name on the air, but we know this person in common. And this individual has been diagnosed as a celiac and has struggled with this for most of her life. And I was in her hometown earlier this year in January, prayed with her. And by the way, this was the third time I had prayed with her. I'd had a couple of other rounds in 2020 and also in 2019. And we'd seen some progress, but never a real breakthrough. But anyway, I prayed with her in January, and I just got a message from her by text about 10 days ago, maybe not even 10 days ago. It was probably last week, actually. I'd have to look at my text stream. But I mean, it's very recent. And she said she had been confirmed as healed of her celiac disease. And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that exactly?" And she said, "Well, all of my stomach problems cleared up. And so I decided, well, I'm going to go get a test." So I went and got a test, and the test came back negative for celiac. I have none of the symptoms, none of the markers that they look for in the blood. And, you know, they looked inside of me, and, you know, I'm okay. And she said, "I didn't believe it. So I went to a totally different doctor and got a second opinion. And that also came back as negative for celiac." Now, knowing we were going to do this show, I sent her a text message this morning, and I said, "Hey, I just wanted to check in on the report you gave me on your celiac. Are you still healed?" And she said, "Yes, I am. I'm eating everything And I haven't been able to eat this food, most of it in years, some of it my entire life. And so, you know, there's a documented medical healing of celiac disease, which every doctor on the planet is going to tell you celiac can't be healed.
Okay, now, but she has a doctor. Can she go to her doctor and say, but I'm saying that can she confound the doctors and say, look, these are the tests? Because they've been treating her for this, ostensibly.
That's right. That's it. That's exactly right. And, you know, the doctors are just kind of like, well, you know, we don't know what to say. Sometimes things happen. And so
things happen. I love that. That's the catch-all. Things happen. It's incredible. I do know the woman you're talking about. She and her husband heard me preaching in Dallas, I think, when you were in Fort Worth. It's a small world. But I do want to say that. So you prayed twice. Nothing happened. People need to understand that this is not, you know,
it's not mumbo jumbo, and sometimes we have to. E.M. Bounds was a great writer on prayer in the early 20th century, which sounds like a long time ago now. But he talked about prevailing prayer, and sometimes we have to prevail in prayer. We can't just, you know, pray a quick "be healed in Jesus' name." Sometimes there's a lot more to it than that, and sometimes we have to do something that the old timers used to call praying through. I think this is an almost completely lost art or discipline in Christianity in our modern age. But when you pray through, you, as it were, secure the victory in prayer ahead of time, and the results are seen, you know, here in the life that we live now.
Well, yeah, I think that there are a lot of these things. What fascinates me about everything that you talk about is that it's kind of an unknown geography. You know, it's like the person who's trying to figure out, are there elements in the periodic table? And that you're sort of trying to figure out what's there. You can't really see it. And it's not that different from the science in the sense that you're sort of feeling your way along. You get anecdotal evidence. It suggests this. It suggests that. And through trial and error, you begin to see how this works, what doesn't work. And that's a big part of what you've been doing. And it's why, having done it for as many decades as you have an experience that you bring to bear when you pray for people.
Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly right. And so, you know, a lot of times people want to talk to me or have me pray with them because I kind of have in my head a bit of a diagnostic on, you know, okay, if it's this, then it probably goes down this branch command. I mean, it's the same kind of discipline that I would have used as a scientist, except I'm doing it in the area of prayer. And, you know, you, Eric, will be happy to know that about a week and a half ago, I interviewed a ghostwriter to help me get my Integrated Guide to Healing and Deliverance out to market because I'm just not making the progress with my own schedule that I need to. I don't have the time to write that I need. So I'm trying to think about how to get that done sooner.
Well, I do think it's very important that you get it out there, Ken, because there is nothing for people, or there's very little for people to know. How do I do this? What's, I mean, look, you're obviously brilliant and logical and biblical, and you can take people through in a way that a lot of people couldn't. And so this is something I think you have to do to teach the next generation, because there's so many people like me. I want to learn how this is done. I want to do this myself. I want to move in this. And I think a lot of people desire that, but they're going to a church that just ignores it, or they're just not around people who are doing it. So I do think it's very important. I mean, I know you sell tapes and that kind of thing at Orbis Ministries, but I'm saying that writing a book sometimes, it's the best way to get this information out. So I don't know how long it's going to take you to write the book. How long do you think it's going to take you to write this book?
Well, if this all comes together with the ghostwriter, we might actually turn the manuscript in by late summer.
Is it a ghostwriter or a holy ghostwriter?
Well, that's a good question. This person happens to be a spirit-filled Christian, so I guess a holy ghostwriter.
All right, so it's an anointed holy ghostwriter. Very, very important. They're hard to find, but it's very, very important. But you do sell – I know you sell tapes on how to do this and stuff, and Suzanne and I have listened to some of them. But I just want to encourage everybody that this is really for anyone who's interested. This is not just for a few people, and it's important that we understand how it works because there are people who desire to be healed, and sometimes God does it through prayer. When we come back, I'll continue talking to Ken Fish. OrbisMinistries.org is the website. Hey there, sports fans. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, talking to Ken Fish. Ken, we've just got a few minutes left. What else do we have?
Well, this being the season of COVID, I thought maybe we'd talk about a couple of COVID healings that have happened. Early in the pandemic, right after lockdown happened, I was doing a broadcast, which, by the way, if anyone wants to watch that broadcast, it's on my YouTube channel, Ken Fish. And anyway, I was teaching on Psalm 91. A lot of people were talking about Psalm 91. That wasn't unique. But the day that I was, you know, getting ready to do that broadcast, I decided to just go through it in Hebrew again one more time. And I was kind of checking back and forth between the lexicon and, you know, the translation and looking at some of the commentary. And lo and behold, here's something that I had not actually known prior to that point. It says, pertaining to Psalm 91, verse 6, when it talks about the deadly pestilence, it says that that the Hebrew word is kateb, and the vowels, you know, can change in Hebrew, but the consonants are Q, like queen, T, like tango, and B, like bravo, kateb. The middle letters are both E's, so kateb. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it says in the one commentary, this is a spirit that was understood to be behind famine, plague, and pestilence. I thought, well, that's interesting. So I get on the broadcast on YouTube, and I'm just teaching through this, and I rebuke kateb as part of the broadcast. And three people were healed of COVID right on the broadcast as it was going on. And, you know, they wrote to me and said, I got healed when you prayed. My fever broke and was gone, and I felt fine. I couldn't breathe, and I could breathe. I mean, each one had, you know, his or her own testimony. But three out of three got healed. There might have been others on the broadcast who were sick who didn't get healed. I don't know. All I know is three people wrote me and said, I got healed watching it.
And it's even cheaper than hydrochloroquine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, even cheaper than hydrochloroquine. You're right. So then I was hang on. Can you hear my dog?
That's okay. We don't care. Grace right. covers the dog. Go ahead.
So then I was in Georgia in January, and I was doing a conference there in near Atlanta. The city was Snellville, but a suburb of Atlanta. And there was a woman there who had had COVID and it had lingering problems in her body for several months and just was not really recovering fully. She was functional enough to be at the meeting, but, you know, she was masked and she was deemed not contagious, but she was having internal problems with her organs and a number of other things, including her sleep. And so, as you know, I happened to mention this kateb thing. And she put up her hand. She said, can we pray about that? And I said, all right. So I did. And when I prayed about this kateb and commanded the spirit named kateb to release the people and to get out of the room, which is exactly the way I phrased it when I prayed, instantly she was touched by the Lord. And she told me, I saw her in Indianapolis this weekend. She's become kind of a, I don't know, fan or groupie, say what you want. But anyway, stalker. But she told me in Indianapolis that from that moment in Georgia all the way until when I saw her this weekend in Indianapolis, she has been fine with no residual effects. And her doctors have said, well, we're glad that you're well now. You know, eventually everybody gets better.
Yeah, I love that when doctors say that. What are they going to say? That's embarrassing. This is amazing. And listen, when somebody gets dramatically healed, they're going to become a groupie. You know, you want to be around that because you don't see that. It's so astounding. And you say, I want this for my relatives. I want this for my friends. I want, you know, it's kind of basic. It's why Jesus was, you know, chased by huge crowds. When people are looking for healing, they're going to go wherever that is. And I'm just glad you're out there, Ken. I know God uses you, and I want to encourage people again, go to Orbis, O-R-B-I-S, ministries.org. Ken Fish, my friend, thank you very much. To be continued.